Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crap Is, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yo Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. Hi, everybody. I'm with Ben Mandelker, my friend, my thin friend, with a lot of hair and handsomeness. Hi, Ben.
Hi, thank you for spreading those lies about my hair and my my weight.
There's no lie there, sir.
Oh, no, my hair is thinning. I've got a gut now. It's sad.
This is not, I didn't say that so you could beat yourself up, okay? Screw that. This is Monday. Okay. We're feeling good about ourselves. Listen, if Wendy can go through that drive-through and get whatever the hell she got because she's depressed, then we should do it too. That's what I say.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. We are going to. I, you know what? I'm good enough. I'm strong enough. And gosh darn it, people like me. And yeah. Whatever hair I have left.
Soon we're going to both have new boobs, new butts, new faces, new everything. And I will not apologize to you for it, Giselle.
Oh my goodness. I can't wait. Next time we do a live show, I'm going to have a new forehead. And I'm just going to get like cement injected into my pectorals. And then just be strange and bulky. But like... properly proportioned. It'll be so wonderful.
Party. Sounds good to me. I'm in. Well, everybody, yeah. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here, Kay. If you want our bonus episodes, last week we did a video for the Real Housewives of Potomac recap. You can find that at patreon.com/watchwhatcrapins. We do a couple videos a week. Our other video was a shot-by-shot breakdown of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City preview, which is really fun. And also last week we were on the Morbid podcast. It's a murder show. Okay, so go listen to it. We talk about murders. And that was super fun. And this week we're just doing Watch What Crappens. Hey, we're just gonna relax. Actually, we are on another podcast this week. I also did Malz's podcast. It's a Lifetime show called Mother May Sleep With Podcast. Okay. Ben and I have both done that one multiple times. We love Malz, so find that wherever you listen to podcasts. And this week we're doing a really gay podcast with Eric. Yeah. Okay.
It's specifically gay. It's called That's a Gay Ass Podcast. And we talk about all sorts of things. We talk about Bravo. We talk about White Lotus. We talk about
ice cream. We talked about ice cream literally for 40 minutes.
Very long time. Yeah. Oh, it was great. The ice cream discussion was a favorite. And then I had to go out and get some Carvel after it. It contributed to my state, but it was worth it. It was so worth it.
Yeah. So thanks for everybody for having us on your shows. Those are always really fun to do something a little bit different. And today, here we are with Real Housewives of Potomac, okay?
Real Housewives of Potomac. You know what I read? No, I'm not going to say it because you hate it when I start off a podcast on a bummer note. So I'll just wait.
Someone
died.
I don't like that. I like to pretend that nobody's dying and everything's fine, okay? That's why I do this.
Well, I'll just say it quickly. So Candace's former producer, Chucky Thompson, died.
That's a while ago, yeah.
No, he died last week.
Well, yeah, but like it's a while ago in terms of like I'm not sad about it anymore because I was already sad about it. Chucky. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I also feel bad that this guy, there's articles that came out with just his storied legacy, and my first thought was, oh, that was Candace Dillard's producer. I'm like, that's not fair for him. He shouldn't be reduced down to that. But, you know, rest in peace. He had COVID-19.
Really? I didn't know that.
He died of COVID. So good reminder, get your vaccines. Pfizer's now FDA approved. Okay. So go do that, everyone. And now let's let's talk about happier things.
And glad you moved that right into COVID. Thanks. Look, well, here's the thing. Candace, people who have not gotten their vaccines are just not like they know they're not getting their vaccines at this point.
Well, they're going to get something else instead. I'll tell you that much. So that being said, let's go back to Potomac. And guess what? You know what? It's not a housewives vacation until we have some antics of ladies in a golf cart. Man, gosh, do women know how to drive a golf cart? I don't think so.
How do you work this golf cart? And then at the other house, because these poor ladies have to take a golf cart from their quote-unquote cottage to the main house, right? So in the main house, Giselle is being snotty with the cook. She's like, do those pancakes have crispy edges? And she's like, well, I can make you some crispy edges.
She was, that chef was excited. I feel like that chef has waited several weeks to do her crispy edge work. Like for every family that she's had to cook for, she's like, you want some crispy edges? Like, no thanks, just soft edges. She's like, damn it.
And then I know, she's been working on crispy edges for years and nobody's even noticed that she puts crispy edges on.
My masterpiece. It's finally happening. This is my moment. I get to make crispy edges on TV.
I'm finally seen.
Do you like crispy edges on your pancakes?
I didn't really know that that was a thing, a crispy edge.
You can do them, and it kind of changes it. It's like it's hard to go back.
I don't know. I guess I've never had one because I've never really thought, wow, what a crispy edge. I mean, to me, that just seems like unevenly cooked. I mean, how do you do it?
Well, I don't do it intentionally. It just sort of happens. But about like a year or two ago, I started cooking my pancakes with canola oil instead of butter in the skillet. And I just make sure there's like a good amount of oil in there to make sure that, you know, I give a healthy swig of oil, a healthy glug of oil in the pan, because I want to make sure the surface area is taken care of. And I think that like having that oil in there, it kind of lightly fries the edges. And so you have full on pancake fluff, but there's like this ever so delicate little crispy crunch that is amazing. And everyone who's had it is like, oh my God, that little crispy edge, you know? So I highly recommend it. Everyone should explore that.
All right. Little crispy pancake edge. Who knew? Crispy edge. Yeah. And next time I have a pancake and there's a crispy edge, I'm going to be like, excuse me, did you use canola oil on my pancakes? I'm going to get really upset.
You could probably achieve the same effect with butter. You just have to use a lot of butter. You know, the oil can just sort of spread out really quickly and easily.
Yeah, that's what I use, butter. Yeah. I use butter. Both. I mean, really for like hair conditioner. Okay. Like literally for everything I use butter.
You said that. So like, yeah, I use butter. Like, yeah. Okay, big mistake. Huge.
Yeah. Well, canola oil, I mean.
I know. It sounds so unsexy.
It really does. You're like, wow. You know what I do to get crispy edges? I pour corn syrup out of a pig's butt onto a pan.
You could use other oil. I use canola oil. I don't use vegetable oil. I use canola oil in those situations. Obviously, you don't want to use olive oil when making your pancakes unless you're going for that sort of thing.
Okay, well, so some ladies are on a golf cart, Giselle's getting crispy edges, and now's the most important thing. Basically, the human equivalent of canola oil, Candace, comes down and says that she hardly slept because, you know, she's an artist now, and so she was up late practicing her choreography for her music video.
Oh my goodness, I'm really concerned what that choreography is going to be like. So
grapevine, step, touch. You know, we actually know famous dancers that do not act like this, okay? Both of us.
Yes, we do, actually.
My dancer friends are never like, oh, I couldn't sleep. I was practicing that choreography for Mariah Carey.
I know, it's true, but she's just very excited. I think that, you know, I think she's never really known how to put her feet in any direction towards something. So I think it's like it's a thrilling moment for her. I'm not sure. I think we'll have to see what the choreography is. But I think last episode we got a glimpse of it, right? And there was some twirling and like a little, what's the grapevine? Is that like foot forward, foot back?
That's where you put one, I don't know how to describe it. You cross one foot over the other foot and then I don't know. I can't.
If Dom only knew that I was like in the next room asking what the grapevine was. My boyfriend's a choreographer.
I came up with like the easiest steps I could do too for you, for anybody to do at home in their heads.
The box step. I know the box step.
Box step. Okay. Yeah.
I would love it if that was Candace's choreo, that she just had to do the box step in her video.
The fiery box.
The fiery box. The Potomac step.
Mm-hmm. So Mia comes down for breakfast and she's like, hi, Mia. And Giselle's like, this is dreadful. We're eating and they're not here.
Yeah, and Escala's calling Candace to get instructions on how to use the golf cart because, again, you know, golf cart antics. Bravo loves a golf cart moment, right? Driving fast, driving slow, racing on the curb. It doesn't get funnier than a golf cart.
So Robin comes down. She's like, bruh, crispy edges. And Giselle's like, well, I saw Mia this morning and, you know, Karen said that Wendy was very, very upset. Because Giselle called her a troll.
Yes.
Oh, no. Karen was very upset. Karen was very, upset very upset.
Giselle called her a troll. Yes. And so, which we don't really come back to this episode. It's like, I feel like Giselle's trying to start something, but it doesn't really catch on. So then everyone shows up, and Wendy's in. She's already dressed in her bathing suit, which is very skimpy. And she's like, this is how we do it in the cottage, which I love some good, like, cottage trash talk, you know, I like you know, with various sports teams, you know, like the Raiders have, like, I think it's like the black hole, I forget, or they, everyone, like Boston has the green monster, everyone has these like big scary things, and she's like, yeah, it's the cottage.
This is how we do it in the cottage. So she's like, well, Karen is white. I can change my body because I want to. I need to set boundaries. I refuse to let anyone tell me what or what not to look like because I am a grown woman. I was like, you go with your bathing suit.
Yeah.
Your bathing suit rebellion. You go, Wendy.
I love the body positivity that comes out of the cottage, you know? It's just, you go.
The body positivity. Yeah, it's the body positivity, but it's like, be positive about hating, you know, not liking your body before and changing it. It's like remodel positivity, which also is important. Exactly. You know?
It's exactly. So then everyone's asking how the cottage was and everything, and Karen goes, whoa, the beds were really comfortable and the company was excellent, which I think was her kind of way of making a jab at the people who weren't there, etc. So Giselle just taps Robin and's like, we have to go to a business meeting upstairs. Ah, you want to bring your plate, crispy edges upstairs? Ah, have you ever had a crispy edge pancake on the second floor? Ah.
Robin just hears business and then her head just falls down to the table. She's like, vroom, vroom. She passes out back asleep. So they leave, and Candace is like, well, I guess they're going to have a secret meeting. And Escala's like, well, you know, to be fair, maybe it's a meeting about how to run the aerobics class. She's like, oh, sweet, sweet Summer Escala. No.
You're so naive. So then upstairs, Robin's like, what body of water is this? Because they're looking out over the water. And I actually made me curious. And then I was like, should I look this up? And then I didn't look it up. And now I'm like Robin, wondering what body of water that was. We'll just never know. Maybe it was the Pacific Ocean. Who knows? That's on Virginia, right? So then Karen, yeah, so she's like, oh, water. And downstairs, Karen's like, well, I want to be honest with you, and I did express concern about the comments that were made towards your marriage, Candace. And so we see flashbacks of Giselle talking shit about Chris riding Candace's coattails. Another thing that we don't really come back to this episode is what Karen's trying to start here.
Because Candace is not playing this season. She's had her season where she's gotten a lot of hate on the internet and all of that. And so this season, she's just going to like be the nice, you know, be the nice one that doesn't get bothered by anything. And like, how could anybody right. ever have a problem with me? And I have to tell you, as someone with Housewives watching memory, where that DVR is pretty much erased every season, I'm starting to fall for it. I'm like, well, isn't that Candace a delight?
Yeah, she's doing a good job. Doing a good job of it. By the way,
she's just being funny and chill. I'm like, wow, I like Candace right now. And then the other part of my brain's like, I know I'm almost erased, but don't do it.
By the way, I've now looked up Williamsburg, Virginia, and the bodies of water that seem to be around it are the James River and the York River. So I'm not sure which river it was. So, you know, sorry, Robin, we will never know.
I feel like I looked up Williamsburg and then I pressed images and it was just all people dressed like they're, you know, in the history books and stuff. And I was like, is this how people go to the grocery store? Like they wear pantaloons and bonnets? What the fuck is this town?
I would love that. Oh my God, there's a Ripley's Believe It or Not in Williamsburg. That seems sort of random.
It's like scissors. They're like, wow.
Zippers. Believe it or not, they have zippers. It was actually like the original Ripley's Believe It or Not.
It's a spatula. They're like, whoa. When we no longer burnt our hands trying to get a crispy edge on a pancake.
The world's fastest vehicle. It goes 15 miles per hour. I love that like in Colonial Williamsburg they have a Colonial Ripley's Believe It or Not. Oh goodness.
So then Giselle and Robin are having their business meeting. Giselle's like, okay, yeah. Now there's no way I want to have this discussion in front of the group. I love you, Robin. You're amazing. And you're winning. So why does Robin not see that? And then we see a clip of Robin telling everybody at dinner, one said that me sleeping till noon isn't attractive.
So Robin goes, oh, I am winning. And thank God. I thank God every day for my blessings. I don't see what people see in me. Do I have dreams of being a mogul? Yes. Do I love hats? Yes. Do I know what this body of water is? No.
And Giselle's like, yes, but Robin, that doesn't get you back into bed. You push through. You can't have a fine husband tell you you're not attractive. I suggest changing the husband. Like, why does he get to be such an asshole just because he's cute? I don't like it.
How about he starts making some pancakes with crispy edges, and then maybe Robin will get out of bed. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Give her a reason to get out of bed.
Yeah. Crispy edges. They would do it for me. So, so Giselle's like, I'm giving you tough love because I know that Robin can handle it. I want Robin to win, so that way I can push her back down again.
So then we get flashback clips to where Robin was ripped off by her friend 5 years ago, where they had a best friend who was investing all of their money, and then he stole all of their money and then killed himself. So that was super depressing. I forgot about that whole storyline.
I forgot that he killed himself.
She's like, yeah, I think he jumped out of a window or something. And then Robin's like, you know, I've been signing up for focus groups. I mean, there was a time because I was, what is wrong with me? I created this business because I was so poor that I was signing up to do focus groups to buy groceries for the kids. And like every time I pulled up to the house, I was waiting for it to just be foreclosed on. And the kids were too young to really know, but now they would really know. And so I need to keep my shit together and keep it moving, basically.
Yeah, but she's still kind of in a rut, and she even says that she has retailers reaching out about her hat business. What's her hat company called again?
Don't put me on the spot.
Opulence. It's not called Opulence. It has like a very generic name.
Snooze. You can look that up.
Snooze. Lids. But she said that she has retailers that are reaching out, and Giselle's like who? She's like, Macy's. She's like, what? TJ Maxx. What? Jeff Bezos. What?
And she's like, I don't even call him back. I need help. So then outside in the pool, by the way, I used to do focus groups and I didn't really realize how depressed I was about it until I saw this. I used to love doing it. I did a focus group when Arrested Development came out. I was in the focus group for Arrested Development. And guess what I said?
Oh.
This is stupid. This is the dumbest shit I've ever sat through, okay? That's my opinion on this stupid show.
I did a focus group with... Wait, when did Laura Branigan die? This makes sense.
I don't know. I feel like this is one big pop quiz today you're torturing me with. You're just going to ask me all these facts and I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I did a focus group and Laura Branigan was a member of the focus group before she died.
Really?
But yeah, I'm pretty sure she was in it. I was like, because it was like this guy who brought people together and he was like, okay, I brought everyone together because I want to hear everyone's thoughts. And so I think I forgot about this until this very moment. And I feel like I clearly did not appreciate this because, like, that is such a big deal that I was in, like, a focus group with Laura Branigan. I really hope I'm not making this up because if I did, this is the most amazing fan fiction my brain has come up with.
Yeah, that's, like, the craziest. It's, like, the most psychotic psychosis.
Could you imagine? This is what my, you know, this is like, you know, like people who are who are like pathological liars who just like lie about fantastical things. Like, I once was on an airplane and there was a little old lady next to me who was just getting drunk and telling me how she was George Clooney's maid. And I was like, you're not George Clooney's maid at all. You're lying. But like my version is I was in a focus group with Laura Branigan 20 years ago.
Mine is that Rue McClanahan was my kindergarten teacher.
Oh, that's a good one.
I like that. Okay, so let's go to outside of the pool. Ah, Giselle has been swimming. That's why she looks so amazing. She's like, look at this body. Ah, this comes from swimming. Ah. So no one really wants to swim, but they're all going to. And Karen's like, I'm not putting myself in the water with Giselle. I'm being sworn in today as the ambassador to Surrey. This lace cannot come up, so we're not going to test it.
Yeah. She goes, I don't trust my life in her hands, as if she's gonna be in like a tank that James Cameron's gonna be filming Titanic Part 2 in. Like, she's gonna be doing some underwater shoot, and it's like literally a pool where it just like comes up to their waist. So they're all putting on swim caps and everything. And Giselle, so she said that she got into shape because she's been swimming, but what we see here is basically aquarobics, and not even very good aquarobics. It's just like the saddest version of an Esther Williams, you know, deleted scene that we've ever encountered.
Yeah, that water aerobics, I never really understood that. My mom did it a lot, and so I went with her a couple of times, and I mean, I don't know. Look at me, okay? So let me be the example, okay? Don't do it. Do something else.
Yeah, I mean, I should try it once. I'm sure there are some benefits. You know, there's some benefits of just being sort of active. But it to me, it looks like it's just a whole bunch of nothing. It just looks like... Now, listen, you know, I often have a hot take about things I don't know about, like aquarobics. And if there are people out there who are big aquarobics fans, I'd love to hear from you, because I would like to be proven wrong. Maybe I'll do some aquarobics, you know? Watch me come back next episode, be like, guys, I am into aquarobics. I love aquarobics. I'm doing
Well, you never know. Yeah, you never know. Like, aquarobics might be back in. It's, like, trending right now, and so Giselle's doing it. It's like pickleball. My sister mentioned fucking pickleball one day. She's like, I'm obsessed with that. I'm obsessed with pickleball. And I was like, who? Yeah. What are you even talking about? And then I started seeing all these people posting about pickleball. And I was like, I guess pickleball's a thing. And then I went to this beer place, and they were like, hey, anybody want to play pickleball? I was like, what? Stop torturing me with pickleball.
And then, like, you finally buy your pickleball racket, and they're like, oh, sorry, we've moved on to aquarobics.
Yeah. Pickleball's over, okay?
You know, I
have some foam weights for the pool, loser.
I've got pickle worms in my little garden box. That's stressing me out. I discovered them this morning, and I'm not lying. I'm like really, really stressed because they're destroying my cucumbers. If anyone has any pickle worm antidotes, please, please, more important than aquarobics, please reach out.
You're going to have quite the inbox this week.
I'm going to have a really strange inbox today about pickle worms and aquarobics. I'm a little deranged. I told Ronnie beforehand, I'm like, I'm really, really tired today. I'm going to wake up during the podcast. But this is, I think, the coffee kicking in. me reaching out about pickle worms.
Great job, coffee. Call me about pickle worms or water aerobics. Thanks.
That could be the new Ashley Darby song after a coffee and, what was it, coffee and sex or something. Like, pickle worms and aquarobics is what I need to get me through the day.
Okay, so Karen is just over there clapping for Wendy. Like, yes, Wendy! Team Wendy over here! Like they're playing a sport. And Wendy's like, swimming is not my forte, okay? But I have Happy and I have Ness, and they're inflatable. So they do their water aerobics or whatever.
Boo. I boo that. It's just the most predictable joke. About boobs, about fake boobs, inflatable devices. Boo, Wendy, boo. I'm gonna take the second B off your boobs and say boo. Okay, boo on that joke.
So Mia's like, I thought she said she was athletic, because Wendy can't really do it very well. And then fairy music starts playing, like Princess Diaries music, as Ashley drives up or is driven up.
Yeah,
and Ashley's like, "Is this a house? This looks like a hotel." oh my goodness, what's on everybody's head? What's happening here? Now, we don't get Ashley that much lately because Ashley's been, you know, so pregnant and she's been there, but she's not really had enough energy to stir the shit as well as she usually does. And man, yeah. Talk about getting your ass back to work in record time. She's like, hi, just here to ruin some lives. Hi, everybody.
Hi, guys. I'm here. Just had a baby. Just ate my placenta. Ready to destroy you guys.
Mm-hmm. So she shows up and she's like,
well, I can't believe it because as a mother of one, I could barely get out of the house. But now that I'm a mother of two, wow. I mean, like, well, I just had to encapsulate my placenta.
And then we get footage of her placenta being turned into little pills. I'm like, and more importantly, we see this poor producer just like gagging and going, oh my God. Oh my God. And it goes, producer gags. I'm like, why did they send this guy? They didn't have to get video footage. Like, we trust it. If she said she got her placenta put into pills, encapsulated, I trust that. I don't know if we need like a visual record of that.
Yeah. And that poor producer, he was even on the Bravo chat room after they brought him on just to talk about that. He was like, oh my God, that placenta. Disgusting. They're like, okay, thanks for coming by, producer guy. And that producer was also the one that was stuck in the stairwell with Monique last year. Remember?
That must have been his punishment because he let Monique out, right? Like when Monique went charging around the house. No, like, okay.
He didn't let her out. She went out the other exit and like I know, ran around the building.
He didn't keep her contained. Like, Justin, you didn't keep Monique contained. So your punishment? Placenta.
No!
Like, he was waiting for months. He knew the punishment was coming. And
you're doing the placenta scene. Now, I will say this. Ashley, you know, out of all these people trying to have their businesses or whatever, you've got your candles, you've got your hats, you've got all this going on. I want the placenta. Give me the placenta. Ashley looks amazing. She's in a great mood. I mean, I wish I could have a placenta. If anybody has a spare placenta, send it to me. I will make pills out of it.
Okay, so just to clarify, I'm looking for pickleworm information. Ronnie is looking for placenta, okay? Yeah. Don't get those confused.
I'm looking for placenta donations.
Please don't send me pills of pickleworms. Don't send me pickleworm pills, okay?
Right.
Don't get it mixed up.
Yeah, just placenta. Unless it's a pickleworm placenta, that'll do something for my pores. I would be into that.
Those pickleworms have wonderful skin. All they do is eat cucumbers. I mean, am I crazy?
Okay. So if anybody has a lead on pickleworm placenta, send me tips.
Please. Please, please. Do those pickleworms do aquarobics? I need to know. Do they have others? I have a question. Are there swim caps that are sized for pickleworms?
Oh my God.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Okay, so let's see. Now they're Ashley comes out. She's like, oh my God, you're wearing swim caps? Oh, well, I just want to be here and be present because condoms on the head. I mean, how can I miss this? And Karen goes, it's a sisterhood. It's a sisterhood.
Because it's the sisterhood of swimmers. So then, Karen goes, I've been the target of Giselle's aggression. And I survived it. So this outfit is my Wonder Woman outfit. I survived the failed coup attempt because she's wearing this like bright red, which we saw last week, and her leg is out and everything. So she's just very happy that she survived the Giselle coup attempt. And then Karen is like, yes, Giselle, she still owes some kind of ownership to my kids. Not me, but to my kids, because she's still upset at Giselle for saying, allegedly wishing death on Ray, which is not the truth. So now she's basically saying that Giselle owes her kids an apology. But I think it's funny that she says that Giselle owes her kids some kind of ownership, because she's implying, like, I want Giselle to own that she said this comment. But by saying she owes some sort of ownership to the kids, it sort of sounds like she's saying, you own my children and you have not admitted it yet. Like, you have to pay for my kids.
Yeah. I've raised the children that you left at my house.
Raven's as much as your daughter as mine.
Oh, God. Her four-year-old fight. Oh, poor Karen. So then Giselle's like, ladies, well, who cares? They're swimming. So then Karen's like, yes, yeah, she came at me. And then she came at Candace. And then her dear friend Candace. And then she dumped at Wendy. She jumped at Wendy. She said that Wendy lacked substance. And Ashley's like, that does not sound like my friend. So, and she tells us, you know, Karen tells the truth. Well, usually. So, but if Giselle is involved, then she goes into this fable world, and then cut back to Karen going, "It was brutal."
Oh, it was almost as terrible as when I was in a focus group with Laura Branigan. It was horrific.
So she, yeah, I like also that Karen says that Giselle, you know, said that Wendy was lacking substance and she cried. She was so hurt. Well, she cried after you sat her down and said,
"Don't let her make you feel lesser than you are a beautiful woman. You are not an ugly hag with fake boobs. You are a woman of substance."
I mean, Karen really like amped up Wendy. Like she made Wendy cry about it.
Yeah. So then it's time to get ready for whiskey. Or whatever. So they start getting ready for the next event. And then Giselle takes Ashley on a little tour of the house. And Ashley's like, "Wow, this looks like a bed for two just in case I stay. Because I'm getting drunk from these Coronas." And she's like, "Oh, now you'll be like drunk Karen." Karen's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Like they're both like trying to turn everybody. They're both trying to turn Ashley against the other woman. And Ashley's like, "Jesus, the two of you, just stop."
Yeah, and so then Karen starts FaceTiming Ray, and I was like, "Well, unfortunately, Giselle is up to a dysfunctional self, you know, not admitting that she birthed Raven. It's horrific, you know, just the usual thing."
So then Ashley's like, "You know, Karen said that you were going around attacking everyone's life," and she's like, "I wasn't trying to bash. We've seen changes in Wendy, and I told her that she's different than the girl I met last year. She was a girl of substance, and now she's sexy Wendy." And she's like, "Well, that's valid, you know, because she was reinforcing the whole professor thing. And I mean, there's got to be an underlying why to all of this." And she's like, "It wasn't combative."
Yeah, because Giselle says you can be both, but just this whole thing came out of left field, right? And now she's saying that Wendy got super defensive. So Ashley says,
"Well, Karen said that she cried in her arms this morning and was weeping."
And Giselle's like, "Well, you know, I'm gonna ask Wendy if she felt uncomfortable. I'm feeling like maybe the rumors online might be driving her to show the people, hey, I'm in a hot, sexy space with my husband. Should I bring it up? Should I leave it alone? What should I do?
Should I just keep talking about it on camera over and over again behind her back?" And Ashley's like, "Well, we can talk at lunch because we both heard the rumors and, you know, maybe that's her motive to change so rapidly." So she tells us, you know, she doesn't know if the rumors are true, but something has definitely changed in the group with Wendy. And so Giselle's like, "Well, maybe you should talk to her because I've murdered everyone with the chain gun last night."
Right. So now more golf cart stuff because they're all going to a restaurant. So it's like, golf carts, how do they work? So they show up and they order their drinks and there's going to be a whiskey tasting after this lunch and everything. And so Ashley starts asking about, how was dinner last night and everything? And Giselle's like, "Wendy, are you and I, are we good?" And so Wendy says, "Well, when we were there at dinner last night, you said to me, last year you had substance, and this year I don't know who you are, and I can't put a finger on it, and that hurt me, and I felt like you were body shaming me, and that you were telling me I need to cover up."
And Giselle's like, "I never said any of that, da." Giselle, you just admitted to saying last year she had substance and this year she doesn't. But okay.
Yeah.
So Ashley's like, "Well, I don't, maybe it didn't go down just like that." And Wendy goes, "Well, I always have that experience with you guys." And Giselle's like, "Well, then, why are you mad at me? If this is an experience you always have, why are you mad at Giselle?" And Mia's like, "I have to call sign that." Mia, thank you for making an effort, but not now.
Quiet. Yeah,
exactly. No one needs you to co-sign anything, Mia.
And Escala's like, "It felt like yesterday I was on Interrogation Island." They just don't even pay attention to her. So yeah. Then Giselle's like, "If you felt like I offended you, my bad. That was not my purpose." Which, of course, is not a great apology. So when Wendy starts doing this thing where she says, "Well, I think you should have pulled me to the side, like instead of humiliating me in front of the entire group," which admittedly, when reality stars do that whole line of "you should have pulled me to the side, it should have been a private conversation," I always feel like that's just a little bit of a, what's the right word? It's not a fake thing, but it's kind of like a stall, or it's like you don't really have anything to say. Because it's a reality show. I mean, you know, things are said over dinners. That's how it works. And when you say things in private, then it can get turned on you. Like, why are you having secret conversations to the side? So, like, you can never really win. So I feel like every time people say, do this whole thing of, listen, you should have pulled me to the side. You should have spoken to me man to man or woman to woman. I always feel like that's kind of like a some sort of like false argument that you're just using to prop up your side of the story. And I'm not saying that just that Giselle is therefore right in everything that she said, but I just always feel like it's a strange or I feel like it's a weak argument to make in these instances.
Well, it's about to get to the cheating, so I can't agree with you because Giselle should have not been going for weeks and weeks. Eddie's been cheating behind her back. She should have gone right up to her and been like, this stuff's in the blog. Let's talk about it right now instead of bringing it up. But I don't know. But Wendy's also getting like, I don't know. Giselle's an asshole, so I'm never going to stand up for Giselle, even against Wendy. So there you go. That's where I stand on it.
Sure.
So Wendy's like, well, when Karen talked to me, she poured into me. She poured into me. And that meant the world to me. I was like, wow, that's maybe too descriptive.
And Karen just goes, you're welcome.
And then on the Bravo chat room, Karen goes, listen, I meant what I said to Wendy. And that is why I poured into her. That is why I poured into Wendy. Because Karen is like, you can imagine Karen being poured into something, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like Karen just has that, like, you just can see her like in a pitcher being poured into somebody, like
it just gets poured like a big messy pour, right?
Yeah. So Wendy goes, and I will forever appreciate that. And just so it's like, let's be clear, rah. She's telling us this. Wendy, Karen doesn't like you, rah. Candace and Karen had that same dysfunctional relationship. So please fall into that Mother Goose trap, bah. And Robin's like, what did I miss?
Yeah, Robin shows up now. And so they tell her everything. And Mia goes, well, quite frankly, in Giselle's defense. And Wendy goes, you love a defense. Which is true, because that is all that Mia does.
She's like, when I see a woman dressing really sexy, I check in with them so I can see where she's coming from.
Be quiet, a lie. Lady. Be quiet.
Do not do that. Yeah. Guarantee you do not do that.
So Wendy's like, well, people have plastic surgery, and this is why people do not want to talk about the plastic surgery. Now, let me finish. And Ashley's like, well, I just have to say that that's not right, though, because that's not the reason we're saying that. It's not about your breasts. We're saying your behavior is different. And she's like, no, you are saying about my plastic surgery. And Giselle's like, it's not true, Wendy. Yeah.
Well, both times I've seen you, you've been parading your breasts around, and that's okay.
And Candace is like, Ashley's breasts are bigger than her forehead. Just, well, she said something about the breasts and the forehead, whatever.
She said Ashley's breast pump and her forehead just got here. Now this, you know, people say on this, people say on these shows all the time, mommy shaming. That's totally Candace. Candace is always making some snide little comment about how gross it is that Ashley's a mom. Like every episode, she's like, well, Ashley just got here. She probably just gave milk to her baby from her breast.
I know. She's like, why is she inserting herself in a conversation she knows nothing about? I'm like, well, because she's on a Real Housewives show, and that's kind of how it goes. So Ashley goes, you're missing the point of the conversation, which is also hilarious because she wasn't there, actually. So Robin says,
well, some people don't want to hear what people are observing, and sometimes that's a difficult truth.
And Wendy's like, you know, I don't think it's a difficult truth, and I'm not going to talk over you.
Yeah, but. Then why are you cutting me off? Why are you cutting me off?
Because you cut me off first.
Oh, you always cut people off.
Calm. I did not cut you off. Let's stop this. And Giselle's like, well, you talk like we are on CNN. And this is a combative contest. And we're just talking. And so Wendy starts swiping through her phone. And it's like, dun, dun, dun. And we go to commercial because Wendy did an anger phone swipe. And then when we come back, she's swiping. And Robin's like, she's talking to you. And you're looking at your phone while she's talking to you.
Well, she said CNN, and I have to confirm that I'm doing my TV show tomorrow. That's why. So she's sort of like bragging. She's like, by the way, I have another television show that I'm doing. And how mad were the executives that Giselle promoted CNN and not MSNBC? What a failure. So Giselle's like, I'm trying to talk to you.
Well, let's be real, because the ladies are talking. Honey, you had a whole thong coming out of your outfit yesterday.
So Wendy's like, well, that was an outfit from Zara. And Mia says, well, Victoria's Secret has outfits too, but we're not wearing it on a bus.
In defense of Victoria's Secret.
Wendy's like, listen, you have this whole past, and I've never judged you for being a stripper, except the entire season where I've been judging you for being a stripper. But besides that, I've not done that. She's like,
maybe, like, in defense of me, maybe it's because I wasn't a stripper. Like, I was an entertainer at a 5-star restaurant that serves steak and lobster.
You may have heard of Thomas Keller's famous restaurant. The Booby Shack.
And even Karen has to tilt her head at that one. She's like, And Wendy's like, but there were strippers, you said. And she's like,
no, they were not strippers, and they were entertainers.
And Giselle goes, well, if they took off their clothes, they were strippers, right? And Wendy goes, exactly, you said. And then we see a flashback of Mia saying,
well, okay, guys, shortly after serving drinks, I did become a stripper, and that's when I met G, you know. But in defense of me, and in defense of my clients, and in defense of steak, most of my clients just wanted to talk.
Yeah, you know, it's you wouldn't get it because it's a 5-star experience where they serve surf and turf. You know, you wouldn't get it.
Yeah, and Candace is like, girl, you were a lady of the night. Candace goes, period, with your big old feet.
Zooming on her feet.
Her giant feet. So rude.
Wendy's like, I find it rich, the commentary coming from you.
No, it's not rich. It's just that the people there were very wealthy, but we were entertainers.
Okay, we're not talking about that anymore.
So you were saying because of her pasta, she can't have commentary? And when he goes, no, did you hear what she said? That's not what I said. Okay, that's not what I said about you, Mia. Like, yeah, it is. You did
it
just say that.
It pretty much is.
Yeah.
Mia's like, well, in the past, in defense of me, in the past, I worked in a gentleman's club to provide for my gamies, and you definitely want to show your assets there. That's how you make money. But we're on a girls' trip, and you don't have to show your assets. We're not paying you.
I'm like, but doesn't it go the other way around, that without like the leer of like the male gaze, you can actually be free to show what you want to show and be free and liberated? Doesn't that work that way too, in defense of assets being shown?
Yeah, it's a pretty weak point. It's a very Mia point to make, right? Like, hey, I was showing my boobs for money. I mean, why would you show them for free? That's disgusting.
Yeah, that's basically what you say.
So Wendy's like, well, my husband knows how much I have sacrificed for our kids and family. And the fact that he can even say he's so happy with who I am means Eddie wins. Eddie wins. And she starts crying and everyone's like, what is she talking about?
I know. Eddie wins. I mean, it's a pretty bad way to show you're not bothered by the tabloids. By making this strange, making this sort of tenuous argument that ends with Eddie. So therefore, Eddie is very, very happy and there's no problems, right? So then Wendy, she's like, you are hella, H-E-L-L-A, judgmental. Okay, hella judgmental. So Candace says, if we're going to judge anyone's fashions, Giselle would be sent to prison for life. Second of all, why can't we just all get along? I have provided ambiance. I'm like, now, Candace, I know you're not the one talking about why can't we all get along when we have footage of you with a butter knife and of course, the fight from last year. I know that Candace isn't talking about that.
Yeah, she's really sticking to her guns on this one, like just being the good one this season. I love that she goes, if we're going to talk about bad fashion, and it just closes up on Giselle, who's wearing, she does look like a blister bruise. She's wearing this white jumpsuit with tie-dyed blue on it, and it just looks like a pussy bruise about to explode. So they end up going to leave because a whiskey tasting is soon. So Giselle mutters to Ashley. She's like, well, it's cold in the streets. She's beyond defensive. And the whole, my husband cares about me and I'll shed a tear now. And now she's like,
yeah, maybe, you know what? I want to talk to her, but maybe it'll be better coming from just one person. Like, she'll take it better if it's coming from, well, me, because, you know, I'm married to Michael. So.
Yeah.
Which so Giselle, is just a flawed, that's just a flawed plan because your husband is always cheating, you know?
I know, that's the thing. Like, this is, your example, Ashley, is this is how you deal with it when the tabloids figure out the truth about your husband, not when unfounded lies come towards your husband. Mm-hmm. So Giselle's like, well, I am done now with Wendy and I won't talk about anything else outside of her braids since she can't handle it. You know, every year is another break the internet moment with Michael Darby. So if anyone can understand and empathize, it's Ashley. This conversation will be better received from her. I'm like, no. What part of any footage from last year of Ashley and Wendy suggests that they will have a better conversation, right?
Right. So then everybody goes back to the house to get ready for this whiskey tasting, and Wendy's upset. She's like, I often put up a brave face, but the truth of the matter is that I want my girlfriends to uplift me, which is nice, except I saw your last season too, and you were not very uplifty on it. So I'm having some trouble feeling sorry for you either, which means that you're perfect for this cast.
Right. So then so they're all there at the house, and the whiskey guy, Rick, shows up. He's like, hi, I'm Rick Wassman, and your whiskey is here. So he shows up all excited.
You might remember me from Married with Children. Isn't he the neighbor from Married with Children? And then he comes in and does like his whole act. You know, he's like, well, I got some things to say about whiskey, ladies.
God. It felt like the comedian Doug Benson doing a part for like Parks and Recreation or something. It was just like in a whole different show. So now they're all sitting around the sofas, and Giselle is saying, like, someone seems like they have an attitude. And Ashley says, Wendy, she should be excited about something. I don't understand. Why did I write that down?
She said, Wendy, she's defensive about something.
Oh, defensive.
So then he passes around these like floats. Is that what you call them? Floats? A flight.
Flights
of whiskey. And he's like, wow, in this whiskey, we have an insertion of applewood. Shut up with your insertion of apple. We'll just be quiet, whiskey man. So Mia's over there like, woo! She's wooing and they're trying to get through this. And then Robin just starts swigging hers down. She just shoots all four of hers, which, man, whiskey's no joke.
She is like, she is really going for it. And even Rick is like, Robin, Robin, Robin. And Escala is shocked. She's like, oh my God. I also like, by the way, so the first one they drank, Rick was like, well, you'll notice some peppery notes. They're like, mm-hmm. And then Candace drinks the second one. She goes, well, I this one doesn't seem to have the pepperiness of the first one. I'm like, shut up, Candace. Shut up.
She just uses this exact same adjective that he used.
Yeah, exactly. She's probably going to be like, ugh, my life is so busy. You know, I'm back to school. I'm learning choreography. I have a single. I have a pilot. I'm becoming licensed in whiskey tasting. I know about pepperiness. God, life is hard.
Okay, guys, you can have your third shot now.
Excuse me. This one does not have an insertion of applewood. Am I right?
I'm not getting applewood notes. I'm getting notes of placenta. No, no.
So Ashley takes Wendy outside. She's like, Wendy, I'm going to go outside. Would you mind stepping out with me? And she's like, oh, God, Ashley, what is it? She's like, just come on. I want to talk to you. So they go outside. And Ashley's like, well, first she tells us, when Giselle and Candace got together and told me about Michael being in that strip club, I really appreciated that they came to me as a woman.
Mm, yeah. So she's like, so I wasn't at dinner to know what all was said, but Giselle told me how there's this fabricated article about Eddie having an affair, and this is being discussed as one of the reasons why you're being more sexual when, you know, like, while you and Eddie are more free, like, you're showing people that there's no truth to that. I'm like, this is not how you broach this conversation. You don't say, hey, I see that there's this fake article, and that's why you're dressing slutty, right? Like, that's not how you foster connection. It's more like, it's like, hey, you know, you like, is this affecting you? How do you feel about it? Da, 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 da. I don't know. I don't know how you do it, but this is not the way to do it.
Yeah, I think she was just like, I want to go, so here's what everybody's saying about you.
Yeah.
And so Wendy's like, well, we're talking about this. It's a lie, but I appreciate that you took this opportunity to attack my marriage. And she's like, why are you choosing to take it this way? She's like, you are bringing this to me, and that is laughable. Like with Giselle, the same way she wanted to have that conversation at dinner. If you were really hearing those things, then why didn't you do this on the side or whatever? And which is what she's doing. She is pulling you aside, right?
Yes.
At least she's doing that. I mean, you have to give Ashley credit because Giselle's just been telling everybody about it behind your back.
Right. Exactly. And that's the thing also, just to get ahead, I think that one of the reasons that I was sort of pushing back on this idea, like, oh, why didn't you pull me aside? Because, you know, jumping ahead, Ashley pulls Wendy aside, and then Wendy goes back to the group and is like, you know, she's to the whole group is like, what you're not going to do, etc. And so I think that, you know, one of the reasons why they say these things in front of the group is that way people can, you know, that way they don't get misrepresented when they have a private conversation and the person blows up and then takes it to the whole group. It winds up at the group anyway. It always winds up at the group. So why not have it at the group, right? So, because this isn't real life. This is a reality show. You know, in real life, yes, have a private conversation.
Yeah, so, but I think she's, you know, she's saying you're bringing it up. Basically, you're coming at me in front of all the... I mean, there are two different situations, right? Because one is Giselle saying, you're dressing slutty all of a sudden, and I don't like it. And she's saying, well, why would you make me look stupid and insecure in front of all of these girls? So, I can understand that. And then the other one is this one, which is, now you're talking about my marriage, but she is doing it privately, but now she's mad because I guess Giselle was talking about it on camera without her there. So it's always about the camera. We're the camera. Basically, it's shitty to bring it up on camera in general, but she is on Real Housewives of Potomac, and that's just going to – sorry. That's everybody's marriages drag through the mud.
You can't start the season having a literal party in honor of your new breasts and be like, happy Ines, and then be surprised when people – want to talk about it, right? I'm not saying that she should be slut shamed or anything like that, and you know, people should accept her for her body and her sexuality and all that stuff. I'm just saying, like, you know, like people will talk. So as she's saying, like, listen, we never talked about this maliciously. It wasn't coming from a gossipy, malicious place. And Wendy says, I feel like it is, because that's Giselle's personality. In her heart, it was completely evil.
And she's like, well, but maybe it's because your friendship was a little fractured. And she's like, no, because she didn't even know last night that I was bothered until she didn't know until today that I was bothered. So, yes, she is a spawn of the devil. And then inside, the guy's like, guys, I just want to say there are different kind of ships. There are ships that are boats. There are ships that you eat made out of potatoes and fried. There are ships that you get from Amazon. You know, especially if you have Amazon Prime, that's a good service. Don't have to pay for your ships. And then there's the most important kind of ships. There's friendships. Okay? Thanks, guys.
What body of water does a friendship sail on?
So then back to Ashley and Wendy. Wendy's like, you know, Ashley, I read so much about you. You and your husband. She's like, of course. Yeah, but that's not a good thing to bring up, because all of that's been brought up on the show, so that's not making a point, right?
Right. And she's like, and I read so many evil things about Robin, you know, and but you guys choose to bring the thing up about me and my husband, and that speaks to your character. And if that's what we're doing, let's have at it.
Yeah, so she's really mad now, right? She's like pointing, and she's like, let's have at it. So, yeah, but she brings up Giselle and Robin, but all of their stuff was brought up on the show. I think the only stuff that is really bad is the Robin stuff that I haven't heard her confronted about. I mean, they've made, like, Michael's made little hints that he's not going to marry her, that Juan isn't going to marry her, and that he's probably got other girlfriends and stuff like that. But I haven't heard a ton of Juan cheating rumors that I read on the internet about Robin on the show. But Giselle's stuff has all been brought up. And yeah. So Wendy's like, so she goes inside all pissed, and Ashley just looks at the camera like, okay, well, that was fine.
Yeah,
it's like, I'll be collecting that paycheck whenever you guys are ready to drop it off. Thanks.
Yeah, but there's also like a look in her eyes like, okay, that went a lot worse than I thought it was, which I guess is what you guys wanted. Okay, paycheck, please. Thank you. So so then Rick, the whiskey guy, gets out of there. He realizes this is he should not be here any longer because it's about to go down. And I just wrote down Robin being silly. What was Robin doing that was so silly?
She was like popping. She was dancing. And also the whiskey guy says bye, but then he never leaves, which is really funny. He's like, okay, everybody, I made my friendship monologue. I'm out of here. Oh, wait, shit's going down. It's like he hides behind a couch or something.
Anyone so have any questions about peppery finishes? No? Okay.
That is not the final insertion of Applewood. Okay? I will be behind this couch. So Wendy's like, well, hello, guys. Since we're all twerking. And Candace goes, oh, dear. And she's like, Ashley brought something of which she said you guys saw in a blog about my husband. And Candace goes, who's y'all? And she goes, well, she said Giselle's name. Was it you? No? Was it you? No? Was it you? No? Was it you? No, it wasn't me. I did do a ship monologue, though. It was pretty good. You missed it.
And Karen just turns away. During this scene, Karen doesn't talk much, but she does a lot of, like, very swift head motions and hand motions. So she does a lot of, like, I'm looking to the left now.
Yeah, or, she does.
My
yeah.
hands are up like I'm in an invisible box.
And she does a lot of lip work, right? She's like,
yes. Looking to the right now. Looking to the right. And back to the left.
So Giselle just starts slurping on her drink, as she does. So Wendy's like, well, let's be very queer. Don't attack my husband. That is something I do not play with. And Giselle's like, why are you looking at me? And she goes, because it was your ass having the conversation with Ashley.
She's like, well, did you tell her what I said?
Well, I said that we didn't believe that there was a fiber of truth about it.
And Wendy says, well, instead of you coming to me as a woman, you decided to talk to Ashley. So I'm putting your ass on notice because what you're not going to do is you're not going to play with my husband's name. And then Karen just does like this big head drop like, okay, here we go. Big one now. Drop the head. Look down to the floor like so. There we go. We did it.
Do not fuck with my family. And then Escala's jaw is on the floor. That's basically why Escala's here today. Just to go, So Mia's like, fuck. And I am saying this kindly, Giselle. She goes, I don't care if you say it meanly, yeah. I don't give a shit, da. It's like, do not get your ass whooped, Giselle.
So Giselle's like, I didn't believe the article. We sat there and we said it wasn't true. We said all those cheating rumors that Eddie had, all those rumors, all those things that people were saying that Eddie was cheating on you, that he was unfaithful to you, that he's in love perhaps with someone else. He had a baby on the side. I said they weren't true. And no matter how many times I say them on national television, they are still not true that Eddie cheated on you. He cheated. It's not true.
And Wendy's like, let me be very clear, Giselle, if we leave these motherfucking cameras. So she's threatening to kick Giselle's ass, which is just hilarious after last year.
it's
so funny. And granted, it's just words. It's not hitting or anything, so it's not the same thing. But it's still pretty funny, considering her stance last year. So Giselle's like, well, the cameras are here, rah. The cameras are here, rah. She's like, when you talk about my husband, you talk about me. She's like, but no one believes it. She goes, it's not about if it's true. It's about you not having the dignity to come to me as a woman.
And so Robin says, well, what was said about Eddie? I want to know from you. I want to know what you're receiving about that as them talking about your husband. And you came in saying, I have a message to say. And Wendy goes, go eat a quacker.
Yeah, she goes, go eat a cracker.
And Candace is like, what about cracker? She's like, you want a moment so bad. You want a moment. It's like, I don't need a moment. Shut the fuck up. And I will take a cracker, though, if someone has that.
And she's like, girl, go fuck yourself. Robin's so full of shit pretending she doesn't know what was being said about Eddie. You've been with Giselle this whole time.
No, she wanted to know. She wanted to know what was relayed to Wendy about what was being said about Eddie. She knows what was being said. She wanted to know what was getting back to Wendy.
Oh, right? God.
Probably
okay.
From Karen or something, you know?
So Robin's like, okay, I will go fuck myself. And then she starts like finger banging herself on the couch. And Wendy's like, yeah, just like that with your fucking skank something I wrote. I didn't get what she said. Close captioning didn't help.
So
your Applewood insertion.
Applewood insertion. So Wendy's like, you don't even have a relationship to care about.
You can't say that she doesn't have a relationship, but she does.
You know what? Eat a fucking cracker. Okay. I'm going back to that one. Eat a fucking, you've had a lot of whiskey. Eat a fucking cracker. I was wondering if that was a weird reference to like, her saying that Robin parrots Giselle. I feel like maybe that was what that was about. You know, eat a cracker. Polly want a cracker.
She was saying like bitch over there eating crackers.
It could have been that too. There could have also just been that she was eating a lot of crackers. Enjoy your Pepperidge Farm selection.
Robin's like, well, you can say all you want about him, and I'm not going to give it any energy. So, oh, no, someone talked about a blog. Oh,
blog, blog, blog. So Ashley says,
well, I think that because I don't take things so seriously, like my marriage, especially when they brought it up to me the way I brought it up to you, I am sorry that you thought I was attacking you and your family when it wasn't my intention whatsoever. I just wanted to make you feel awkward on camera and then tell you about the placenta that I ate.
And Mia's like, I don't know, because if she brought it up to you, she should bring it up with her.
Well, I said, maybe I'll discuss it privately. Didn't I say that, Ashley? And she's like, yeah, but what? She, you don't understand the parameters of a relationship because you don't have one. And I see you for everything everyone said that you were, Giselle.
And Giselle goes, thanks, sir. It was not malicious. What's so funny is the life that you're living now is God paying you back for all the bullshit you've ever done. I was like, whoa.
Jeez.
And Karen is so shocked. She puts out like broken jazz hands. Like she puts her hands out like she's about to do jazz hands, but they don't actually get jazzy. She's just like, all right, we're going to do some jazz hands. Tell me when the music starts and I will commence. No music. All right. I'm ready.
So Wendy's like, live in your motherfucking shit because God is paying you back. That's real shit. You want to fire a shot? I got the motherfucking bazooka. I will drag you up and down the street over my husband. And Giselle's like, what the fuck? WTF.
And Robin's like, what was that? Karen goes, why would Wendy put that into the universe about her husband? So Wendy says, Giselle is coming after me because misery loves company. And Giselle lacks empathy. Giselle lacks a man. Giselle lacks Bryant. That's her middle name. Giselle lacks.
And so Giselle's like, well, everybody and their grandmother has made up bullshit about me. And it's not true, so just keep it moving. And she's like, if you want to go, we can get it popping. We can get it going. I knew all about you and Jamal before I even came on this motherfucking show. And we ain't talking about blogs anymore, baby girl. Imagine being with a man that consistently cheats on you all the time and sleeps around all of Baltimore and everyone knows it, but you stay with him and think of him as worthy enough to bring around your daughters. I mean, do you know how low of self-esteem you have to do that? Like, ding, ding. I just kept like trying to back up my seat. Like,
ooh. I know.
Speaking of low self-esteem, I'm gonna go back to Michael now. Bye, guys.
So she's telling us, tread lightly. And Ashley's like, ah, okay, bye still. And Wendy's going, I'm gonna light your ass up. So Ashley goes to the kitchen to get her stuff.
Yeah, she's in the kitchen, and she's, like, packing up all her little milk things and stuff. And then Candace comes in, and she's like, what was your motivation for that? Especially you, of all people. And then we see Candace is crying. I'm like, why is she crying? Why does she have her napkin ready? What is happening? She's like, leave it online. Leave it I have never brought anything from a motherfucking blob to you, which is, like, the biggest, you are crying for no reason and you are spewing bullshit, Candace. And
you
Ashley's
literally
like,
just did it last year and patted yourself on the back for it when you came in with that video that was online.
Yes, Michael Darby, right? And Ashley's like, to us, she goes,
well, you fed that shit. You fed it. You feed it. You're the culprit. You're the source.
And then Rick is like, hi, everybody. Good night. This is the true peppery finish right now. Goodbye.
So Candace goes, oh, just tell me what I need to do. Just take your milk and get the fuck out. And so Ashley's still yelling, you're the culprit. You're the source of everything. Which is good that Candace is the one calling the blogs because there's at least one in every cast, right? So then Robin's like, what is even happening? And Wendy goes, when you talk about eating placenta, clearly she didn't eat enough. Miserable ass. It's like, well, wait a minute, but she did it. She did it in the way that you wanted her to. She came to you and told you in private what was going on. So, I mean, I know you're angry, but you can't just be spouting off directions at everybody. And then the one who does it the way you want, now she's the monster. Like, you have to pick. Yeah.
And Mia says, well, in defense of something, if Giselle had brought you directly, had brought this to you directly, would you have had the same reaction? Would it have meshed well with you? And Wendy's like, no, I would have at least tried to give it some credit. So why wouldn't she come at Eddie, who looks like Idris Elba, the same person that she says she wants to fuck up and down? So now I don't know if Giselle was the one who ever said that Eddie looks like Idris Elba, who I don't think they look alike at all. But obviously, Wendy believes that, and Giselle has said that she wants to fuck Idris Elba up and down. So now Wendy has created a very false narrative that Giselle wants to fuck Eddie up and down. I'm like, I think that's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, now she's saying that Giselle is just making this up because she wants to fuck her husband. I don't know what's going on with Wendy, but Wendy gets mad, and then she makes no sense anymore. You know, said when. So Giselle's like, you know what? I'm going to ignore that one. This has gone left. And Mia's like,
let her say what she's got to say.
And Giselle's like, listen, it's nothing malicious. We all like Eddie. And Karen's like,
we all knew about the blog. All of us. Only one of us chose to bring it up.
First. Only one. Giselle was the first one to bring it up. Okay. Like, some one of you guys was going to bring it up at some point. Okay. So Wendy's like, I'm not breaking bread with that bitch ass. Which is the... Will they be able to have dinner together? Will they enjoy crispy edge pancakes together? We'll have to find out next week.
Dun, dun, dun. And that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Potomac.
So funny. So good. Yeah. Well, everyone, thanks for listening. We're back on the next episode with the Shaw's of Sunset Reunion Part 1. At least I think it's the Part 1, or maybe it's just a spoof reunion. Ah. So we'll be back with that. Just stay tuned and be sure to listen to those other podcasts that we've been guesting on, like Morbid and Gay Ass Podcast, etc. Look that
shit
up. Mother May I Sleep With Podcast and all the others. We've been doing a bunch lately. So, and of course, subscribe to this one. If you're just like dabbling in, go hit that subscribe button and have us arrive in your podcast inbox just on whenever you need us. Until then, we'll talk to you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nikki Morgan letters.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will. Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo. Karen McMurdo.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel. It's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.